Well, if you take your Bible this morning and turn to Revelation chapter 9 as we continue our study through this book, I don't know. Every time I go through the book of Revelation, it just seems like what God's Word says is those that are that go through and listen to this Word are blessed. And God just continues to bless us every time we'll take Him at His Word. And I'm just so excited not only to go through this book, but to just be reminded that this is God's Word and it is coming to pass. It is true all the way through. And the more we see, the more we understand that these things will be happening sooner than later. And it's an encouragement for us that know Jesus Christ, because it means He's coming to get us pretty soon. But it's also an exhortation to all those who don't know Jesus Christ that the time is also coming when judgment will come upon this earth. And it's part of what God has already planned. And God always follows through on His plans. And so just a reminder of that. So anyway, we're going to read verses 1 through 12, chapter 9, Revelation. If you will, stand in honor of God's Word as we read it together. The fifth angel sounded his trumpet, and I saw a star that had fallen from the sky to the earth, and the star was given the key to the shaft of the abyss. And when he opened the abyss, smoke rose from it like the smoke from a gigantic furnace. The sun and the sky were darkened by the smoke from the abyss. And out of the smoke, locusts came down upon the earth and were given power like that of scorpions of the earth. And they were told not to harm the grass of the earth or any plant or tree, but only those people who did not have the seal of God on their foreheads. And they were not given power to kill them, but only to torture them for 5 months. And the agony they suffered was like that of the sting of a scorpion when it strikes a man. During those days, men will seek death, but they will not find it. They will long to die, but death will elude them. The locusts looked like horses prepared for battle. On their heads they wore something like crowns of gold, and their faces resembled human faces. And their hair was like women's hair, and their teeth were like lions' teeth. And they had breastplates like breastplates of iron. And the sound of their wings was like the thundering of many horses and chariots rushing into battle. And they had tails and stings like scorpions. And in their tails they had the power to torment people for 5 months. And they had a king over them, the angel of the abyss, whose name in Hebrew is Abaddon, and in Greek, Apollyon. And the first woe is past, and two other woes are yet to come. Father, I come to You today, Lord. And I just thank You again that we have Your Word. We don't have to wonder what's going to happen. We don't have to, you know, like the rest of the world, have no clue. But Father, we have Your Word. And Your Word's truth. And Your Word speaks to us. And Your Word helps us acknowledge the fact that everything that You say will come to pass. It always has. It always will. I thank You, Lord, for Your Word. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I want to start today by asking this simple question. Why does the Lord give us all these graphic descriptions of what the world is going to face during the tribulation? Well, I think there's three answers that really come out, stand out to me. These three things are really things that will help us all. The first thing is that I think they're mentioned so that the people in the church will know what we've been saved from and that God has delivered His people from the judgment that's coming. Folks, that's an encouragement to me. I don't look forward to what other people who don't know Jesus Christ are going to have to go through. But I do look forward to the fact that one of these days, Jesus is going to split the sky open. And He's going to call us home for those who know Jesus Christ. And we're going to be caught up with Him in the air in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. I mean, folks, listen. It's going to happen quicker than you can even imagine. And I look forward to that day. And that's an encouragement to me. but it's also motivation, and we'll look at that in just a moment. But I think these things are mentioned so we will know what we've been saved from and what God has delivered His people from this judgment that's coming. Secondly, He extends this glimpse of the future as a warning to those who have not yet trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. He wants them to know what they will face if they continue on in their sin and in their rejection of Him. And you might say, well, how do they know that? Well, I can just tell you this. There's two ways they can know that. First of all, the Bible is available to anyone who wants to read it. It is. I mean, it's on the internet. If you have the internet, you can read it. You probably read it on your smartphone. I use it my phone multiple times just to look up verses. The Bible is readily available if you just want to read it. Most people don't want to read it. You know why? Because if they hear the truth, then they feel like they're going to have to do something with it. Either ignore it or acknowledge it. Right? So just don't bore me with details. I don't want to know about that stuff. I don't want to know what's coming. Listen, folks, I don't know about you, but if I didn't know what was coming and I found out I could find out what was coming, I'd like to know. And so there are many people that hear and read God's Word. They may hear it being preached. They may hear it over the radio. They may hear it in a lot of different ways. They may pick up a Bible and read it and not exactly understand everything about it. But God is laying out these things so that they will know that they don't have to continue on in their sin and their rejection of Him. They can turn to Him. I think the third thing is this, so that we who do know Jesus will be motivated to share the gospel with the lost. Now, folks, I think that's the greatest part of all of this. Because why would we go through what's going to be happening on this earth when we're already taken out? What is the purpose of that? The purpose is so that we know what people are going to have to go through. And it should, because of the love of God that He's given us and because of the love that He's also put inside of us to share with other people, it should motivate us to tell people that this time is coming. They don't have to go through it. I can't imagine what it'd be like for people that we know, the people that we say that we love, people that maybe even are a part of our family, people that we work with every single day, people that we've known all of our life, we've grown up knowing them. What would it say to them if we knew the truth and we never told them about it? What would it say to them? Probably would say, I don't care that much about you. It should motivate us to share the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. So first of all, this morning, as we take a look at these scriptures, beginning in chapter 9, verse 1, there is a powerful angel that's talked about here. The fifth angel sounds his trumpet, and I saw a star that had fallen from the sky to the earth, and the star was given a key to the shaft of the abyss. He's a prominent angel. He's called a star. Now, by the way, just think about it for a moment. Isn't it interesting that we call people that are very influential in Hollywood, we call them what? Stars? Yeah. Or somebody that excels on the football field, we call them a star. I mean, we tend to put people up on a pedestal, don't we? Folks, there's nobody that deserves to be on a pedestal other than Jesus. He's the only one that should be high and lifted up. Every person who claims to be a star, or people look at and they call them a star, listen to what, they're just people. And they all have faults just like you and I have. But this particular angel is called a star. He could possibly be Michael, because he is an archangel that's in charge of the armies of God. He is the warrior angel I don't know if it's Michael or not. It doesn't say here exactly which one it is. But it is an angel who comes, and he's given a job to do. And his job is to come with a key and open the abyss. I think it's probably Michael from my perspective, because he's also mentioned in Revelation chapter 20, verses 1 through 3. And I saw an angel coming down out of heaven, here again, having the key to the abyss, same person, holding it in his hand in a great chain, and he seizes the dragon, that ancient serpent who is the devil or Satan, and he binds him up for 1,000 years. And he throws him into the abyss, and he locks it, and he seals it over him to keep him from deceiving the nations anymore until 1,000 years are ended. And after that, he must be set free for just a short time. Listen, folks. It's got to be one of the archangels. Because if you know anything about Scripture, you know that at one point, Lucifer was one of the three archangels. And when he chose pride and wanting to be like God, he was cast out of heaven. One day, some angel, I believe it's going to be Michael, is going to come down, and he's going to take Lucifer, Satan, and he's going to cast him into the abyss, and he's going to shut the door, and he's going to seal it, and he's going to lock it for 1,000 years. Now, folks, that's on down the road. That's in chapter 20. We're just in chapter 9 right now. But I'm telling you something. That's going to be a day of rejoicing when Satan is taken out of commission, and he will have no more influence on this earth for 1,000 years. He's going to keep the key until then, the Scripture says, because he's going to come down in chapter 20 with the key, and he's going to open the abyss again, and he's going to cast Lucifer into it. So he's a prominent angel. He's a purposeful angel. He comes with orders from God to open the door to the abyss. Now you might say, well, what is the abyss and what's in the abyss? The picture here is the place that's set aside for punishment. Every demon, by the way, the Scripture tells us that many demons have been cast into the abyss already. They are there, and they are suffering along with others who have chosen to disobey God and not receive Him. But every demon that had been bound here on this earth by people who know Christ and are covered by the blood of Christ, and these demons have been bound, will now be let free upon the earth to wreak havoc. Now, folks, I don't know about you. There's mention in Scripture multiple times of demons. Jesus faced them multiple times. You recall he was in the area of the Decapolis, and he met a man who was filled with demons. And his name was Legion, because there were many of us. And so Jesus cast those demons out of him. And they begged Jesus, "Don't send us to the abyss. Let us go over into that herd of pigs." Jesus said, "Okay, go." By the way, that's the first time in Scripture it's mentioned of deviled ham. But anyway, so he casts them into those pigs, and guess what? The pigs run off the cliff and down into the water, and they all drown. Because, you know, the purposes of demons are never for good. Never for good. Why? Because they have the best teacher ever, Satan himself, who his purposes are never for good. So every demon that's been bound in the abyss is going to be let loose now upon this earth. So many of them that they're likened unto a herd of locusts, a swarm of locusts. Now, I don't know if you've ever, just go online sometimes when you get a chance, and just type in on Google, swarm of locust images, and you will see some amazing photographs of swarms of locusts that come upon crops, and they completely annihilate those crops in minutes. I mean, it's amazing to see. Well, this powerful angel is talked about in verse 1. Now, in the next few verses, we start seeing this woe. Now, you recall in chapter 8, the cry went out, woe, woe, woe to the earth. Three woes. This is the first woe. It is the trumpet, the fifth trumpet that is the first woe. The sixth trumpet will be the second woe. The seventh trumpet will be the final woe. And each one of these are going to get worse than the one before. The primary woe is the opening of the abyss. Immediately, smoke rises. Look at what it says in verse 2. When he opened the abyss, smoke rose from it like the smoke from a gigantic furnace. The sun and the sky were darkened by the smoke from the abyss. And out of the smoke, locusts came down upon the earth and were given power like that of scorpions upon the earth. Now listen, folks. This smoke is going to come out of the abyss. Immediately, it's going to be rising so much so that the sun and the sky are darkened by the amount of the smoke that comes from the abyss. This will affect even more the already polluted atmosphere that we looked at from the seal judgment. You recall that people are already having a hard time breathing. The air is already putrid. It's going to be even worse. Now, I don't know about you, but I've been in a situation a couple of times where I was in a place where the smoke was so bad, I didn't think I was going to be able to breathe. Can you imagine that feeling constantly? That's what it's going to be like when the atmosphere changes and this smoke arises from the abyss. And it's going to be choking and it's going to be terrible and people aren't going to know how to even get their next breath. Then there's this overcoming swarm. These demons will swarm the earth in incredible numbers. Now, you stop and think about it. If you go back in Scripture and you look at the fall of Satan, he encouraged a third of the angels of heaven to follow him. Now, I don't know how many angels there are in total, but I can tell you this. Jesus said, if I wanted to, I could call the angels from heaven to come and rescue me from the cross. Thousands upon thousands. Legions of angels. I could call upon them. But not going to do that. But there's a third of the angels that are now following the evil one called Satan. They have fallen as well, and they've chosen to put their allegiance behind him. And the Scripture says they're going to come out like a swarm of locusts, and they have evil intent upon their mind, because for all of these years they've been in that place of the abyss, chained up, locked up, not able to do anything. But now they're going to come out like a swarm because they are so numerous. They'll not harm the vegetation like regular locusts will, but they're coming specifically to attack the human race. That's their whole purpose. And by the way, that's always been Satan's M.O. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That's what he wants to do. Now, these locusts, these demons are specific. They can only inflict their pain upon people who are not saved, the Scripture says. The ones that don't have the seal of God on their foreheads. Now, you recall as we went through the 144,000 Jewish evangelists who are now covering the whole earth, spreading the gospel to anyone who will listen. And many millions of people have come to know Jesus Christ. And the Scripture says they have the seal of God on their foreheads. And we looked at that. What it literally means is they have the presence of the Holy Spirit upon them. These demons cannot touch them. They can't touch them. Why? Because God's more powerful. Right? God's going to take care of them. And He's got His Holy Spirit over them. But these demons will attack everyone else who has not yet accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. and they bring the sting of sin upon the inhabitants of the earth. By the way, the scripture talks about the sting of sin. Listen, folks, this is literally the sting of sin that's going to come. It's going to be so painful. The word in Greek is bisanti bisantai, which means to torment. Now, folks, I don't know about you, but I got to admit, when I was a little kid, I did a couple of things that weren't that nice. I'd go to a mound of red ants. We had red ants in West Texas. Red ants build big mounds. And I didn't like red ants because they sting you and it hurts. And so I would take a little can of gasoline and pour that gasoline down the hole of the red ants, and then I would light a match and take care of them. Well, I did that a couple of times until my granddad saw me doing that, and then I was in big trouble. Not because he didn't like red ants, but because I was playing with matches and gasoline. I was probably only about 9 years old, and I probably shouldn't have been doing that. But the fact is those ants, they got tortured. Torched and tortured. Right? Well, listen, folks. When these demons come, the people's torment is going to be so bad that verse 6 says this. Look at this. The people want to die, but they can't. I mean, how bad do you have to be tortured to want to die, but you can't? They long to die, but death will elude them. Now, folks, I don't want to go through that. I don't know of anybody that I would want to go through that. I mean, there are some people that kind of bug me, but I would never want them to have to go through this. If there's somebody in your life that you're thinking, yeah, I kind of hope they do, you need to get right with God. Listen, folks, I don't want anybody to have to go through this, no matter who they are. It's going to be horrible. And this is just the first woe. When you look at the overview of these demons, the scripture says they are like horses that are prepared for battle. They're straining at the bit. They've been in prison for so long, but now they can do whatever they want. Folks, I don't know about you, but I can't even imagine how that's going to be when all these demons are let loose upon the world and they are just looking for every opportunity to spew out their hatred and torment on any person that's available. It's going to be horrible. The scripture says they come like horses. They're like conquering kings of this world. And for 5 months, nothing will be able to stand against their onslaught. There won't be a person left in this world that hasn't felt the sting of these demons coming upon them. Now, I don't know exactly what the sting part is going to be like, but I know this, it's so painful and it's so tormenting that people would do anything to die rather than to face it. I kind of felt like that when I was a little kid, when I had to go to the doctor and I knew I was going to get a shot. Were any of y'all like that? I was like that, man. I didn't want a shot so bad that I remember one time I'd cut my finger open. I was on an icy porch on our house behind Buena Vista, and I was on this icy porch, and I slipped and fell, and I grabbed, and there was a cross-cut saw hanging on the wall, and I caught it right here, and my little finger was just kind of hanging here. And I didn't want, you know, it hurt bad. I mean, I remember, I still to this day, I was like 5 years old, I still remember how much it hurt. My mom grabbed me and put my finger back up there and wrapped it around in a big old towel and threw me in the car, and we took off to Salida to the hospital. And I remember when we got there, here came the doctor, and he said, "Let me see that," you know, and he unwraps it and he goes, "Oh man, we're going to have to do some work on this." He said, get some deadening in here. And they brought this big old needle. It wasn't one of these little needles. It was one of these horse needles, you know. At least it seems like it when you're 5 years old, right? And I'm thinking, man, I think I'd rather just have my finger hanging off than to have that thing stuck in me, you know. But you know, I couldn't imagine the pain that I was going to have to go through to get the deadening part. You know, I think I'd rather just leave it like it is. So, I mean, these people are going to be in so much pain. They're going to want to die. These demons, the scripture says they look like human faces. By the way, have you ever thought about how important a face is? Have you really thought about that? The scripture mentions, by the way, your countenance multiple times. The face actually shows what's on the inside. And if you took our faces away, we wouldn't be human. We wouldn't have the ability to portray or do. I mean, I can't even imagine that. The face is kind of the mirror to the soul. It shows what's on the inside of us. These faces are going to be look like human faces. In other words, they're going to have the ability to show what's on the inside. And what they're going to be showing is the worst of sinful nature, which is going to be showing itself through these demonic creatures. Now, I've seen some pretty scary faces in my life because I look in the mirror every day. But I've seen horror movies, I've seen all that kind of, but I don't think any of us can imagine how horrible these demonic faces are going to be. Because when you look into the faces of these demons, you're going to see things that you've never seen before. Of course, I'm saying that to you only if you're going to be here. I'm not planning on being here. So I hope you're not either. As horrible as they are, though, they will still be attractive to people. Isn't that interesting? Isn't it just like sin? As bad as we know it is, we're still attracted to it? That's amazing, isn't it? The seductive charm that will lead people to the pit of hell. That's the way Satan is. I think people draw pictures of what they think Satan's going to look like and then make him look like some guy with horns and a long tail and all this kind of... I don't see Satan like that. Satan is so deceptive. He's so deceptive that he will look like he's good, but he's really bad. And by the way, as we get on into the study of the Antichrist, we will see a person just like that. A person who is now controlled by Satan himself, who the world will think he's the best thing that's ever come along. He will look good, but he will be totally bad. The bite of these demons is strong like the teeth of a lion. It mentions here that they look like horses. They had faces like people, and they had teeth like lions. It will inflict pain like never experienced before. And by the way, folks, I don't know if you know anything about being bitten by a lion, but the scripture says, our scientists tell us that the bite of a lion is so powerful that once you're bitten by a lion, you can't get loose. You can't get loose. Isn't that also depicting of people who've given themselves over to the lust of the flesh and the desires of their heart? Seems like they can't get loose. Maybe they're getting bit by the drugs of this world. By the way, that's also an interesting study sometime. Have you ever noticed that when you go, and I may be stepping on toes here, sorry about that, that's just the way it is. If you ever go to pick up liquor at a liquor store, it mentions liquor and what? Spirits. Where does that come from? Well, it actually comes from the word pharmakeo, which talks about the wine that is intoxicating. And that wine, when you give yourself over to it, it takes control. That's why when people get drunk, they act like they don't know what they did. Why? Because they don't know what they did. Right? And so when they give control over to somebody else, it means you don't have it. Right? Same with drugs. They take drugs to not feel what they're feeling. They want to have a different kind of feeling. Well, they do, but they give themselves over to that drug. And those demonic forces that can take control. Now listen, folks, I'm not saying that everybody is filled with demons. I'm not saying that. What I am saying is this. Satan has power that God allows him to have. And those powerful demons that are going to be coming out are going to have this kind of power. And they're going to inflict pain like never experienced before. They will be, for a short time, for 5 months, they will be unstoppable and no one will be able to kill them. They will be so swift on the attack that no one will be able to outrun them or get away. Their sole objective is to inflict pain. Now, folks, I don't think any of this is pleasant. But the reason we're going through it is because it's in God's Word, and He's sharing it with us for a reason. First of all, so that we can know what is coming. Second of all, so that we can warn people what is coming. Third, so that we can go and tell people about what is coming and about what God has done for us. And then towards the end of this passage, it talks about in verse 11, these demons had a king over them, the angel of the abyss. Now, a lot of people think, is that Satan himself? No. We will see a little difference in that a little later. They had a king over them, an angel of the abyss, whose name in Hebrew is Abaddon, and in Greek, Apollyon, the king of the demons that were in hell, the one who leads them for 5 months. His name in Hebrew is Abaddon, and in Greek is Apollyon. Now, why would we need to know what it was in Hebrew and what it was in Greek? Well, I think it's a really interesting question. Romans chapter 1, verse 16 tells us why. Look at what it says. Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it's the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. First to the Jew, Hebrew, then to the Gentile, Greek. That's what people spoke then. Either Hebrew or Aramaic, which was Greek. That's it. So God wants everybody to know the gospel. Everybody. It's interesting here that this guy's name was Abaddon, for all those Hebrews, and Greek, Apollyon. Just as salvation has come for both the Jew and the Gentile, so has judgment come for those who will not believe. Whether you're a Jew or a Gentile, judgment is coming. In other words, salvation is for all who will believe, but judgment is also for those who will not believe. You're either one or the other. You've either believed in Jesus Christ to become your Lord and Savior, that what He did on the cross paid for your sins. You've either trusted Him and given Him your life, or you haven't. And when I say you haven't, what that literally means is saying you don't believe. Because if you believed, you'd do something about it. Let me tell you something, folks. If I believed that if I stood on a train track and I saw a train coming and it was almost there, and if I believed I could just stand there and take that train on, first of all, you'd think I was crazy, and I would be. What I would do is get off the track, or I would die. Now, isn't it interesting that many people see the train coming? They hear the whistle. They know it's almost there. And yet they just stand on the track. Why would you do that? The name talks about Abaddon in Hebrew and Apollyon in Greek means the destroyer. And what he's trying to do is destroy everyone on this earth. Because that's the plan of the leader, Satan, by the way. You recall, I mentioned it a while ago, John 10:10 says it like this. The thief, talking about Satan, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and what? Destroy. But Jesus said, I've come that you can have everlasting life, have life and have it to the full. Jesus said, Satan on one hand wants to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, but I have come that you can have life. Folks, it can't get any clearer than that. It can't get any clearer than that. And yet people, they may hear this message. They may hear people talking about stuff like this and think, oh, nah, I'm not going to listen to that. I don't believe all that stuff. You know what? You can say you don't believe it, but one day, the Scripture says, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess, Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. It's going to come to pass. Folks, there is a heaven, and there is a hell, and they're the only two places you're going to end up, one or the other. You have a choice. God has given every single person here a choice. And every person that listens to my voice today, listen to me, you have a choice. God didn't choose you to go to heaven or choose you to go to hell. You have a choice. He doesn't make anybody do either one. Because God is a God of love. And He loved you so much that He allowed Jesus Christ to be placed on a cross, to be beaten, and to be put on that cross, and to be impaled with those nails through His hands and His feet, and to take the shame that He took, and to take the beatings that He took, but most importantly, to take the payment for our sin debt upon Him and to shed His innocent blood for us. That's how much God loves you. I hope and pray that if you're here today, you won't leave this place without knowing for sure you've given your life to Jesus. You've trusted Him to be your Savior and your Lord. That's why we're going through this. Folks, I don't like what's going to happen here on this earth because I can't even imagine what it's going to look like to be here on this earth. And I don't want to have to imagine it. It's going to be bad. It's going to be worse than anything that's ever happened. Now, I know a lot of people talk about, well, I think what's really going to happen is there are going to be nuclear wars, and these are pictures of the things that happen during nuclear wars. You know, the skin's going to rot off and all these kinds of things. Yes, it could be something like that. I'm not really concerned with how it happens. I just know it's going to happen. That's all that matters. And so for every person that hears the voice of God speaking to your heart today, you have a choice. Either you've already accepted Him or you haven't. There's not anywhere in between. Well, Satan is such a deceiver. He's such a deceiver. He likes to make you think, hey, you grew up in a Christian home. You must be a Christian. Doesn't make you a Christian. You have to choose for yourself. Will I accept Jesus Christ and what He did for me? Will I choose to believe and trust in Him? And will I give Him my life? You have to make that decision. Nobody can make it for you. That's why some people, I struggle with this a lot, but some people think, I'll just have my child baptized when they're a baby. Then they're going to be saved. No, that doesn't save them. Doesn't make them a Christian. Folks, listen to me. You have a choice. I have a choice. I've made my choice. I gave my life to Jesus. He is my Savior and my Lord, and I'm not ashamed of that. Am I perfect? No. Any of you that knows me knows I'm not perfect. But I can tell you this. I'm forgiven. And I'm saved. And that day when the trumpet blows, and I'm gonna be with Jesus in heaven. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, I'm gonna go and be with Him. And I pray you are as well. Let's pray. Dear Father, I just thank you so much that we can come and we can worship you, and we can sing songs to you, and we can talk about how awesome you are. We can share testimonies about when we came to know you. We can know all these things, and we should. And yet there are still people who are not willing to trust you, to give you their life. Father, I just pray right now, if there's anyone like that here today who's not yet trusted you, who's not yet said, Lord, I want to give you my life. I want to follow you. I believe Jesus died for me. He paid for my sin debt on the cross. I want to follow you with the rest of my life. I pray, Father, that they would not leave this place this morning without getting that right, without making sure that they've given you their life. But I also pray for every other person that's in this room who already knows your Savior and Lord. And how can we go through sections like this in Scripture and see the things that are coming and then walk away and act like it's not that big a deal? It's not that important that I go talk to my neighbor today. It's not that important that I bring it up in a conversation with my coworker. It's not really that important. What we're saying is we don't really trust you, God. You've given us your word so that we are able to go and to tell people the best news ever. They won't have to go through this. That's the best news ever. It's the good news that we have a way to be taken to be with you and to live with you forever in a place that you're preparing for us even now. Lord, I just pray right now that everyone who hears your voice will respond to it, no matter what that is. For those who know you, that we will respond by being obedient and doing what you've called us to do, what you've commissioned us to do, and what you send us